Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, good morning. This is Deborah Simpson coming to you with Connected Women of Influence. We are at the Connected Women of Influence Awards luncheon today, and I am interviewing some of the nominees. So sitting with me is Eve Nasby of Merit, correct?
Great job.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we're kind of winging it. This is kind of new for us to do this on the run. So, Eve, tell me a little bit about Merit and what you do.
Deborah, that's such a good question. And first of all, I want to say that I'm honored to be here. One of my partners in crime is also being honored, Dina Ayala. Merit Consulting is a staffing agency. We're the largest staffing agency owned by a disabled veteran. Did you know our president and founder, Gary Herbold, was actually awarded the Purple Heart twice for his bravery in Vietnam? And now we have thousands of people out there working today in IT, engineering, accounting, and finance. And then as a small part of that, we have Brave, and Brave places veterans in great companies like AT&T, McKesson, all the companies that we currently work with.
Oh, that's great. I happen to work on a really cool project on Facebook, Take Me Home Huey, and that is all around. We recovered a Huey helicopter that crashed on Valentine's Day in 69. We lost two service members in the crash. We found it in a boneyard in Arizona. They put it back together, and it's now a contemporary piece of art that's going around the country. And we actually found all the crew members that were alive. They're still alive, and we have the families of the two service members who passed away. So
it's
a pretty interesting project.
It is, and you know what I like about that too is that the kids can get involved and families can see and understand the legacy that these veterans have left for us. And so many times that legacy gets lost. Kids don't understand the sacrifice that was made by our veterans back then and even now. And so it's an honor to be talking to you today.
Yeah, even more so now, I think, because a lot of the wounds that they had in Vietnam weren't survivable,
right,
versus today, it's amazing what technology does.
Yes, and also, Deborah, your point is well taken. There's those physical wounds that you can see, but there's also invisible wounds of war, right? And so as employers who might be listening, HR professionals out there, taking a look at taking the fear out of PTSD, traumatic brain injury, those are not things to be afraid of if you have employees or folks that would like to work for your company who have those types of scenarios. It's not a scary thing to hire those people. And so it's all about education, and that's part of what we do at Merit too. We also educate employers around why it's not scary to hire someone with PTSD and why it's actually a really good business case to hire veterans.
It's really a good business case, and I'm glad to see some of this overcoming of the stigma that's attached to PTSD. It was the Vietnam War, which was the war when I was a teenager. They came back with shell shock, and nobody even understood what the ramifications were.
Right.
And why don't you just give a brief explanation of PTSD for those who don't know what it actually is?
You know, there's a lot of different manifestations of that. So you've seen something horrible. Maybe you were in a car crash. Maybe your child died, or maybe you're going through a divorce. Those are all traumatic incidences that can trigger PTSD, or the symptoms of PTSD. And so oftentimes, if you've got a warrior who has seen whatever the trauma was in war, excuse me, you'll find them sleeping on the floor in the hallway to protect their loved ones. They're OCD. You know, everything has to be perfect because they're trying to control something on the outside when inside they feel out of control. And some of the accommodations, my good friend Marjorie Morrison has headed up an organization called Psych Armor, and Psych Armor's purpose is to educate folks like us around the accommodations that you can give to people with PTSD. It could be as simple, Deborah, as putting a mirror on their desk so they can see who's behind them, or putting them in a natural lighting. It's lighted environment, because sometimes the fake lights, the incandescent lights,
yeah,
will give them headaches. So just simple stuff like that.
Yeah, I had a brief first marriage and married to a Vietnam vet. And one of the things he could not deal with was listening to Santana, because it just brought back. It was a trigger point.
Because they were listening to, yeah, so things like that, they're simple to overcome. And Marjorie, who is the expert, in fact, she's got a gala coming up. She's going to honor Elizabeth Dole for all of her work. She says, Eve, people with PTSD are no more likely to be violent than people without PTSD. And I think that's another myth out there. But if you hire somebody with PTSD, they're going to go postal on you, and it's just not true.
Yeah, although I see, because of Huey, I'm in a lot of the PTSD groups, and a lot of those PTSD groups, the spouses, they're the ones that have more of the fear. So I think if there's a more intimate situation.
Right. And those are caregiver issues. And that's what the Elizabeth Dole Foundation is all about. And that's what Marjorie at PsychArmor is helping to gather the support and put tools in place for those caregivers who are often forgotten. You look at the veteran or you look at the person with PTSD or traumatic brain injury, TBI, and you think they're the only ones that need help. And that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. And now what award are you up for today?
Oh, my goodness. I am up for a kind of an interesting award, Women Breaking Barriers. And I think with I kind of get dropped into situations. So I'm now doing a radio show where we interview companies like AT&T, General Atomics. We've just interviewed Pat Boone. We're talking to people who love and are passionate about America and veterans, and we're interviewing veterans themselves. And that has lent itself into a new TV program that's airing here locally on our cable channels in Southern California. So it's really exciting. So that's me. That's what I do.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for spending a few minutes with me today.
You're welcome.
Good luck on the award.
Thank you. And we want to give a shout out for Senator Joel Anderson and Assemblyman Brian Jones for honoring all of these. They're recognizing all the women here today. So I want to give a shout out to them and thank you.
Oh, there we go. Thank you for spending time with me. Enjoy the luncheon.
Thank you so much.
All right. So we're now swerving into a second interview, and we're bringing in a lot of these nominees today from the Women of Influence Awards. And today, I'm talking with Cindy Grossman, Kids Turn San Diego. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about Kids Turn San Diego.
We are a caring nonprofit that brings peace to children experiencing family separations and military transitions.
Oh, that is so important. How often do military children move?
Let's see, they move 7 to 9 times.
Yeah,
I before the age of 18.
Yeah, I wasn't a military child, but I went to 10 high schools in 12 years. So we were moved often. And I often think about the military kids and wonder if there was a support structure for them to help them cope. Because when you're always the new kid in school, sometimes you adopt non-healthy ways of getting friends quickly. So are there other support? Does the military itself have a support system for the kids?
Not the military themselves for the kids. Only they sometimes will do like activities that bring the whole family, mostly like around deployment. But there's so many military serving agencies here in San Diego that support kids.
So what do you do for the kids?
So in our military program, we really bridge the gap of communication between the children and the parent. In that program, helping the two spouses to reconnect is oftentimes, even though they're in the same family, they've lived very different lives. And when they come home from deployment or transition out of the service, there's a real gap of communication. And we build empathy and understanding to try and bridge that gap. And help the children to honor their military life so those 7 to 9 moves or 5 to 7 changes of schools are not as where they don't have to blame their family, but accept that this is just part of being in the military and be proud of that.
Are you able to help them transition into their new schools pretty easily?
Our program is a one-time class.
Oh.
So we really work with other agencies that focus on that longer-term service. We really provide a one-time class to really help the kids to honor their military lives and then to be able to communicate better with their parents so there's deeper understanding and greater understanding.
Oh, good.
And then our other programs are really focused on separated and divorced families as well.
Oh, wonderful. Now, what award are you up for?
I'm up for the Game Changer Award.
Oh, Game Changer. Mm-hmm. All right. And how do you know about Connected Women of Influence?
I met Michelle at another event, and we just connected, started talking, and she invited me to a luncheon a couple weeks ago, and I was a guest, which was amazing. And then I was nominated
for
this award, so I'm just honored to be a part of that.
And how do people get in touch with you with Kids Turn San Diego?
Our website is kidsturnsd.org, or our phone is 858-521-0027.
Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me. I'll let you get back out there to the awards luncheon. Nice to meet you. My pleasure.
And we have another one of our nominees coming up. This has been a fabulous morning. We're getting ready to start the luncheon shortly. About a half an hour, we'll be sitting down and having a really good time. So now I have Stephanie Norton with Tradesmen. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And tell me a little bit about Tradesmen.
So Tradesman is a vintage, it's actually an 1886 house that we restored into small office space. So the goal is to allow small businesses that only can kind of be in their house and it's too expensive to go downtown. We're in East Village to bring them downtown. Our rents are actually about a third of what all the rents are. And the goal is really to act as an incubator to allow them to kind of make that next step. And then we also have outdoor space and we use our house as well for charity events. So we call that part our poor house. And we are getting ready to have a charity event next week. We do small charities throughout San Diego. Our next one is going to be for Memories and Music, and they provide iPods for the elderly to help kind of bring them out of that place when they're alone and get them some energy. So it's great.
Yeah, I have a mom who's adjusting to living in a senior community after being in her own home, and her doctor recently took her car away. So it's a big adjustment. Now, how big is that house?
So our house is just about 1,000 square feet. We have 7 office spaces in it, and they range from teeny tiny, like you just need a place to kind of focus, and we have one lady that says, it's too noisy at my house anyway, this is perfect for me, and then they go up to 12 by 12. And then our goal is we have 2 more houses in South Park, which those are Craftsmen, is to convert those into both retail and office space, again, to get kind of that boutique business that wants to take the next step, but right now in San Diego, the prices are too big.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. So what game, are you up for the Game Changer Award?
Up actually for the, I will mess up the name.
That's good. I'm glad it's not Game Changer.
No,
Changer nominees in here.
I'm going to mess up the name. It's like the first 5 years.
Oh,
Emerging.
Emerging
I was
going to
say
owner.
New business, but yeah, but it's emerging business.
So how have you liked what you're doing with the house?
I love it. I really believe strongly in that we don't just throw stuff away, and I feel like some of our old houses and old properties in San Diego kind of get discarded because they seem like they're too big of a project to take on. But I think there's no project, whether it's a house, a person, a need to take on, you just put your mind to it and do it. So we luckily attract really amazing small local businesses that are, they're really emerging too. So it's amazing for us to be a part of that. It gives me chills actually.
How did you guys come about deciding to do this?
My mom passed away in 2010, and her big thing my whole life was just to do that, to be kind of the lamp that somebody needed. So it was a little dark. She would help them shine the light and get whatever they needed, whether it was, hey, I'm new in town and I don't know what the good doctors are, or my husband's deployed and I need a little help. She did a lot with at-risk youth and different charities throughout my life. And when she passed away, we really felt like, wait a second, this is how me and my brothers were raised. My father was definitely, he was military, but definitely a part of that same feeling. And what do we do? And it took a couple of years of kind of that, like, down, you know, angry somebody passed away, what do I do? And turned around and looked and said, wait a second, we have an opportunity to really give back. And how do we do that in a way that is a for-profit business so we can help a lot of people and kind of change our direction as it needs to be to continue that help, and then also connect with charities that maybe aren't getting the $10,000 or $15,000 check. And we really looked around for about 2 years for property and found this, and it was dual zoned. So we said, this is great because worst case, we can put a family in it if it doesn't work out and we can still give back that way. And then the charities we've met are amazing. You know, I look at it that if I can get my age group to say, even if you give up your coffee today, that $5 that you give will make a huge difference in some of these charities, you know, goals and plans and what they do for the instantaneous good of the people they serve.
Yeah, it amazes me that your generation is so philanthropic through business. That wasn't for my generation.
It definitely is interesting because you see the people around you saying, wait, we can all make money and that's great, but we don't have to make money hand over fist and then just kind of, you know, run around and hold it and take it till we die. We can look at it and say, I can be a successful business person. I can things that are changing my community, and I can really inspire other people to change their community. And it's fantastic. I mean, I would say it's a fantastic group of people to be a part of.
Wonderful. And how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to find out more about it?
So we're on, the easiest way is our website. It's Tradesman Poor House, and it's P-O-U-R, like beer, because we tend to have beer at our events. We're having an event next week, and we would love to have everybody come. It's for a great charity.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Yeah, you too. Good luck.
Thank you.
And we have another favorite person coming in here. It's not like I haven't known Michelle for just a few years or so. Huh? Oh, thank you. Yes, we're both up for awards today, so that's exciting. So I have Michelle Burkhart here. So, Michelle, tell me a little bit about your business.
My business is called Think Business, and I have been in business for about 18 years as that company. And I do business advising, restructure, turnaround work, and help businesses get from point A to point B more successfully.
And 18 years you've been doing that. That's great. Yeah, so what award are you up for?
I'm not really sure.
Well, I'll find out while you tell people a little bit more about your business.
All right. Well, essentially, a lot of times people don't know a roadmap on how to get from when they start a business or a business that have been in business and they need to restructure, take it to the next level. So I have been in business since I was 14, and I decided after I sold my last company to do more of exchanging information with people to help them be successful as well.
Right, and you are up for the Lifetime Legacy Award. So that'll be an interesting one. I'd like to know the definition of lifetime legacy. Does it kind of make me feel old?
You said you wanted the definition? Yeah. Well, you know what I realized when announcement came down from SBA the other day that was saying that the women in business have finally made their quota of 5% contractors, and SBA's had a goal for getting 5% of the women in business to have contracting contracts. So they've made that. So it made me feel very, very good because I know I'm a part of that, and I help people get to that point. So my legacy has been really teaching and helping people.
Yeah, one of the things I just heard recently is that women make about, 77 cents on the dollar compared to men, but women who own their business make 43 cents. To every dollar that a man makes.
Hmm. That's very interesting statistics. I think a lot of times, and I'm starting a branch off of my business to deal strictly with financial reporting and all, because women don't really take that on in that financial end and understand it really well. So I think that could be because they, the more they understand their costs of doing business and really write down their labor hours that they're giving away, I think we could increase that back up to maybe 80 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, that would be really great. So do you work with men and with women?
I work with businesses in general, yeah. And depending on a lot of times with companies, if there's certain divisions like sales divisions or other parts of the company that need to understand how a business runs and have them to be more profitable within a company, I've worked with that too.
So what are you looking forward to today is the luncheon?
Oh, I see a lot of people that I don't see all year round. I think CWI has been a fantastic organization that really helps women who are really interested in doing business. So I'm very excited about all the nominees there and the energy that's created in the room. It's just a wonderful afternoon.
Excellent. Is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
No, I think you've done really well, Deb, and congratulations on your nomination, too. What are you up for?
I am up for Connected Women of Influence Award.
Great. You certainly deserve it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just trying to keep the organization on the cutting edge here. Yes. And really enjoying what Michelle's lovingly embraced these new technologies. Mm-hmm. So getting her to podcast and now the video and getting her on social media has been really good. So
thank you for all your work.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for being my guest on the show.
Thank you. Take care.
Excellent. And that is the show for today. I'm going to go ahead and sign off and go join Michelle for lunch today at the Connected Women of Influence Award ceremony. So thanks for listening. I know it's been an unusual show today, but we've been happy to bring this show to you.